One of the most legendary periods in Canadian history began in the middle of August 1896, when a man named George Washington Carmack and his brothers-in-law found a shiny object in Rabbit Creek, a tributary of the Klondike River. That shiny object turned out to be a thumb-sized gold nugget. The discovery of that nugget set off the famous or infamous Klondike Gold Rush. This event marked the beginning of one of the most productive periods in Canadian gold mining, as well as one of the more exciting and colorful periods in our nation's history. At the end of August 1896, just a few weeks after Carmack's discovery, gold was discovered in Colorado, or El Dorado Creek. This roughly 2-mile-long creek yielded $30 million in gold between 1896 and 1899. Soon after the discovery of gold, word began to spread to other parts of Canada and the United States. And during 1897 and 1898, there was a stampede to get to the gold. Nearly 100,000 prospectors set off for the Klondike. Only about 30,000 arrived. Of those 30,000, only about 4,000 actually found gold. And of those 4,000, only a few got rich, but most were disappointed. Sadly, most of those who did make a fortune, lost it later on. The town of Dawson City, which had a population of 500 people in 1896, saw its population explode to nearly 30,000 residents by 1898. Each person who set out for the Yukon during that time period was required by the Canadian government to carry a year's supply of food. That was to prevent starvation. That food supply, along with other equipment, could weigh close to a ton. The Yukon Gold Rush ended in 1899 when gold was discovered near Nome, Alaska. But legend has it that between 1898 and 1905, more than $100 million in gold was extracted from the creeks of the Klondike River. And even today, we can watch television programs such as Gold Rush or Yukon Gold or Bering Sea Gold. Gold always has had and continues to have a fascination about it. Gold conjures up all sorts of images in our minds. Maybe we thought of the aforementioned television shows. Maybe you thought of the famous gold rushes of the 19th century that I alluded to earlier. Maybe you thought of the gold bars secured in Fort Knox. Maybe you thought of gold coins in ancient sunken ships. Perhaps you thought of jewelry, or maybe the value of gold, or maybe your teeth. Maybe you thought about the Temple of Solomon in 1 Kings 6 and 7. Maybe you thought about the Ark of the Covenant as it's described in Exodus 25. Maybe you thought of the New Jerusalem that is written of in Revelation 21. But today I'm going to talk about gold, whose symbol is AU on the periodic table of elements. Specifically, I'll talk about some of the characteristics of gold and how we can compare those characteristics to being those of a Christian. Some of these points will be interconnected, as we'll see. But we'll also see that God is in the gold. There are a number of interesting and fascinating characteristics of gold. Gold is referred to nearly 500 times in the Bible. No metal is mentioned more often. One of the characteristics of gold is that it has a relative density of 19.3, making it quite heavy. That means that it weighs 19.3 times more than water. Now, one U.S. quart weighs 2 pounds. In metric, 1 liter of water weighs 1 kilogram. Now, if that same 1 quart or 1 liter, well, let's use the quart for the U.S. example here. If that same U.S. quart was filled with gold, it would weigh nearly 39 pounds. That's quite heavy. Now, we probably heard the expression that went over like a lead balloon. Well, perhaps for more emphasis, we might say that went over like a gold balloon, because perhaps surprisingly, gold is about twice as heavy as lead. Gold is also a very soft metal. It's a little bit harder than a human fingernail. And because of its softness, gold is the most malleable and ductile metal. So what does that mean? Well, malleability is the quality of being able to be formed and shaped through hammering or pressing. Malleability is the quality of being able to be formed and shaped through hammering or pressing. The quality of being ductile means the ability to be drawn or pulled into a thin wire. The quality of being ductile means the ability to be drawn or pulled into a thin wire. Gold leaf, for example, is simply gold that has been hammered into a sheet about 7 millionths of an inch thick. To put that in perspective, well, if I had my paper notes, I would print them on 20-pound paper. It would take over 7,000 sheets of paper, and that would be no thicker than a dime. That's how thin gold leaf is. The qualities of being malleable and ductile are indications of flexibility and resilience. Now, a typical 1 ounce piece of gold would be about 2 inches long. I've made a representation, cut out of cardboard. This would be about the size of an ounce of gold. It'd be about 2 inches long, about 1.1 inches wide, and about 7/100ths of an inch thick. That's quite small. And if you were to take that 1 ounce piece of gold, it can be hammered into about 97 square feet. Now that same ounce of gold can be drawn or pulled into a wire that is about 5 miles long, just from 1 ounce of gold. So the qualities of being malleable and ductile allow gold to be shaped into such a large sheet and pulled into such a long wire. It's a soft and flexible metal. Gold is not brittle. It's stretchable. It's easy to work with. Gold's qualities of being malleable and ductile allow it to be transformed into different shapes without breaking. So what does that mean? How do these characteristics apply to us? As followers of Christ, how malleable and ductile are we? How stretchable are we? In other words, how much can we be formed and shaped? And how easily can that be done? How much do we allow God to form and shape us? How easy are we to work with in God's eyes? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed or changed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, some other translations of this verse include the Bible in Basic English. And let not your behavior be like that of this world, but be changed and made new in mind, so that by experience you may have knowledge of the good and pleasing and complete purpose of God. So how and why do we renew our minds? We renew our minds by drawing close and staying close to God. We do that through, as I mentioned in the sermonette, through prayer, through study, through meditation, and through fasting. We do that by our example to others. By doing these things, we will know what is God's will. So we must allow God to work with us, just as the gold needs to be worked with to be formed and shaped. Gold is the most malleable and ductile metal, allowing it to be easily formed and shaped. What about us? How easily are we formed and shaped by God? Another characteristic of gold is its pureness or purity. The most valuable gold is the purest gold. And there are degrees of purity. Most gold producers and alloy, sorry, most gold products and alloys require 99.99% pure gold as their starting material. In other words, the gold must be pure in order to be used for other purposes. The purity of the gold is usually measured or described in three ways: percent, fineness, and carats, K-A-R-A-T-S. Percentage describes the parts of gold per 100. Fineness describes the parts of gold per 1,000. And carats describes the parts of gold per 24. So pure gold is 24 karat gold. That means it has 999 parts of gold per 1,000. And that's its level of fineness as well. It's pure gold. Now 22 karat gold, on the other hand, is 91.7% pure. Thus has a fineness of 917. And the math is simple. Take the carat rating and divide by 24. In this case, 22 divided by 24 equals 91.7. Now 18 karat gold is 75% pure, has a fineness of 750. Another popular grade of gold is 14 karat gold, which is 58.3% pure. And thus, that is its fineness as well. Finally, 10 karat gold is 41.6% pure, has a fineness of 416. Those are the most common grades of gold. According to the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, gold cannot be labeled as gold and sold if it is less than 10 carats. In other words, you cannot sell an 8-carat gold item and call it gold, since it cannot be called gold, at least not in the U.S. or Canada. Now, some countries do allow 8-carat gold to be sold as gold. Jewelry is one of the uses of gold. And an 18-karat gold can contain, for example, 75% gold, 13% silver, and 12% bronze. And on it goes down the line. 10-karat gold can contain 41.7% gold. It can contain 11.66% silver, 40.81% copper, so nearly as much copper as gold, 5.83% zinc, 0.03% silicon, and 0.02% boron. The more elements that are included in the gold, the less pure it becomes. And the less pure the gold is, the more alloy it has. The most common alloys are copper and silver. The purer the gold is, the more valuable it is as well. Some of the purest gold coins in the world are the Canadian Gold Maple Leaf series. They are 99.999% pure. The level of purity for gold bars is a minimum of 995 parts per 1,000. So that's virtually 24 karat gold. Pure gold, in other words. So how pure are we as Christians? Are we, say, 24 karat Christians, or are we 10 karat Christians? What is our level of purity or pureness? Proverbs 15, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination or very hateful to the eternal, but the words of the pure are pleasant. So God finds purity or pureness pleasant. What does it mean to be pure? One definition is clean. Clean. Are we clean? Or how's this for a definition? Over in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Just a few pages over. Chapter 30 and verse 5 of Proverbs. Every word of God is pure. And the word here means refined. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. So every word of God is pure. Put another way, pureness is every word of God. God's word is pure, and pureness is pleasant in his sight. Over Matthew 5, verse 8, Jesus was talking, giving the Sermon on the Mount here, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. But this is something we should also be trying to achieve. Matthew 5, verse 8. Matthew 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Pure here means pure, or clean rather, or clear. It means undefiled. The blessing for being that way is that we will see God. Let's also look at Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. These are the things that we should be thinking on. Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure or clean, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So we're to meditate on the things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. If we have more of God's Spirit in us, then we are more pure. Like gold, if there are other elements in us, then we are less pure. So again, I ask, how pure are we? Are we 24-karat Christians or are we 10-karat Christians? What is our level of purity? Another characteristic of gold is its rarity. That makes it precious and valuable. Gold is quite rare. And as God's people, we also are quite rare. Gold makes up about 5/10 millionths of the Earth's outer layer. Now imagine if there were 10 million grains of sand, for example, and only 5 of them contained gold. And on all that sand, go and find those 5 pieces of gold out of the 10 million. That gold is so rare, along with its characteristics, makes it such a valuable and precious commodity. We are much more so in God's sight, much more valuable. Now, according to Natural Resources Canada, Canada produced over 155,000 kilograms, which is over 340,000 pounds of gold in 2016, at an estimated value of $8.3 billion. Somewhat surprisingly, nearly half the gold came from the province of Ontario. And Canada is one of the largest producers of gold in the world. But as much as Canada produced, the U.S. produced more. Produced about 209,000 kilograms or over 460,000 pounds of gold in 2016. That accounted for almost 7% of the world's gold production. Most of the gold came from the state of Nevada. As much as that might seem on the surface, gold is still quite rare. Its rarity adds to its value. Now, gold was used extensively in biblical times, partly because of its value. It was used extensively in the tabernacle. That's found in Exodus 25 and 26. It was used in the garments in Exodus chapter 28. It was also used in the building of the temple in 1 Kings 6. So gold was valuable back then, just as it is valuable today. And in God's sight, we are precious and valuable. Isaiah 43, verse 4. Isaiah 43 and verse 4. Isaiah 43, verse 4. "Since you were precious," that is, valuable or prized, "in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life." So we're precious in God's sight. We're valuable and prized in God's eyes. Let's never lose sight of that. How do we see ourselves in God's sight? Now, even though gold is considered a precious metal, we are much more precious than gold in God's eyes. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10 also gives us something to think about. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10. These are words of wisdom here. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Silver and gold are things that have a great deal of value. But rather than seek those things of value, we're to receive instruction and knowledge from God. That is more valuable. These are much more valuable in God's eyes than gold or silver, as valuable as they are. The point is that we are to seek the spiritual things of value, like wisdom and knowledge, rather than the physical things of value, like gold and silver. As precious and valuable as gold is, we are much more precious and valuable in God's sight. Another characteristic of gold is that it needs to be refined to be useful. It needs to be refined to be useful. Gold does not come out of the ground in a pure state. It needs to go through a process called refining. Then it can be used for different purposes. Refining removes the impurities. The more it is refined, the purer the gold becomes. The same principle can apply to us as well. The more we are refined, the purer we become. And there are different methods of refining gold. Gold is refined to remove its impurities. One of the methods used to refine gold is heat. But it's not just ordinary heat. It's a very intense heat, but it's controlled. Now, gold has a relatively low melting point, 1,064 degrees Celsius. Copper is slightly higher, and iron is considerably higher. According to the National Mining Association, the main process for refining gold is blast furnace or electric furnace refining or smelting. The ore containing the gold is smelted, resulting in impure gold. That impure gold is then further refined by molten chlorination, known as the Miller process. That results in 99.5% pure gold. Virtually pure, but not quite. That's still not quite pure enough for many purposes. The gold is further refined by one of two methods, either the Wohlwill process or the wet chemical process. And at the end of all this, the result is 99.99% pure gold. As Christians, we also go through a process of refining. The process eliminates the impurities in our character, and we become more pure, just like the gold does. Our character is refined, and we become even more precious in God's sight. Gold becomes more valuable and more useful when it has been refined, and the same can apply to us as well. Job chapter 23, verse 10. Job 23 and verse 10. Job 23, verse 10. But he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So Job realized that he was being purified, that he was being tried, that he was being refined, just like the process that gold needs to go through in order to be pure. In Zechariah 13, verse 9, Zechariah 13, verse 9. Again, there's a comparison here. Zechariah 13, verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Eternal is my God. So the gold is tried, it's refined. And in both these verses, the word try means to prove. So God was proving them. Proving involves purifying. So God is purifying his people. He's separating the impurities so we become pure. If we're purified or refined, if you will, then we're pleasing to God. Just as gold needs to be physically refined. We must be refined spiritually. Another characteristic of gold is that it is durable and reliable. In a word, it has the quality of endurance. Gold is durable and reliable, has the quality of endurance. It's a very stable metal as well. That makes it ideal for use in a number of products that we use today. Gold is used for the contacts that deploy our airbags in our cars. Gold is used for various electronic connections as well. Our cell phones contain gold. Gold is a very good conductor of heat and electricity. And since many electronic processes create heat, gold is necessary to transfer heat away from delicate instruments. For example, a 35% gold alloy was used in the main engine nozzle of the space shuttle, where temperatures can reach 3,300 degrees Celsius, over 6,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So gold is reliable and durable, and that makes it ideal for electronic components. Gold also has an unparalleled resistance to corrosion. It is the most non-reactive of all metals. Gold does not react with oxygen, which means it will not rust or tarnish. Oxygen is one of the main elements, one of the most active elements, but it has no effect on gold. Iron and steel react with oxygen, and the result is rust. But gold does not corrode, making it reliable and durable. These characteristics show how durable and reliable gold is. What about us? How reliable are we? How durable are we? Do we give up easily? Do we break down? Do we get tired? Do we get weary? One of the reasons that gold is used for the contacts to deploy the airbags in our cars is that it is reliable. It's always there. It doesn't get tired. It doesn't corrode. It's there when it's needed. Let's look at Galatians 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. As followers of Christ, we need to be durable, and we must not, as it says, lose heart. It's easy to give up at times. It's easy to get into a frame of mind where we begin to grow weary. It's an attitude that we need to guard against, especially if we've been in the church for a number of years. Let's also look at 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. Very similar to the verse we just read. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Let us not grow weary while doing good. In other words, we must endure. We must continue on, even if we feel like giving up at times. Gold doesn't give up, and neither does God. Perhaps the most famous scripture on endurance is found in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we also are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right of the throne of God. The lesson here is not to give up. Jesus certainly didn't, and neither should we. You know, rather than giving up, Jesus endured the crucifixion for us. What about us? Are we durable like gold is? Do we exhibit the characteristic of endurance? Are we reliable? Are we there when it's needed? Will we last? Gold is a durable and reliable metal. Very little affects gold, giving it the quality of endurance. Are we like that? Another characteristic of gold is that it is the most reflective and least absorptive material of infrared energy. It is the most reflective and the least absorptive material of infrared energy. High purity gold reflects up to 99% of the infrared or heat rays. That's part of the reason it's used on the face shields of astronauts. Gold coatings are also used on windows for the same reason. The coating allows the sun's light rays to enter a building, but not the heat rays. Pure gold is highly reflective. What about us? Do we reflect God's spirit in us, or do we absorb it? If we reflect it, it's outgoing. If we absorb it, it is not outgoing. We have an opportunity to let God's spirit reflect back into the community. And we do that by our examples, by our actions. We do that by our words. We do that through our presence at Sabbath services and holy days and at the Feast of Tabernacles. We do that at home and at work. Are we spiritual reflectors, or are we black holes that absorb light, heat, energy, and matter? Hopefully we're the former. We are reflectors of God's Spirit dwelling in us. Our examples, whether good or bad, are seen by others. How much are we reflecting God's Spirit? Not just on the Sabbath or during God's feast, but throughout the year. Let's look at another familiar scripture. For most of us, I'm sure, this is in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Again, this is from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5, verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Verse 15, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Does that speak about us? We should be the lights of the world, reflecting God's Spirit in us so that others can see us by our examples. Now, gold is very reflective. Are we? But there's one other thing that we need to be aware of. In spite of these positive characteristics of gold that we looked at, there is one more thing we need to look at. Like so many things that God has created, Satan has a counterfeit. Today we have genuine legal tender, that is money. We also have counterfeit money. It's a big problem. Now sometimes the counterfeits look so real that it's hard to tell the real from the fake. Years ago when I lived in Brampton, Ontario, there was a story in the newspaper about a person who went to a bank machine, not just an ATM, this was actually owned by one of the banks. He withdrew some cash and he noticed that one of the bills was noticeably larger than the other ones. Well, that was an obvious counterfeit. But some are not as easy to detect. There are websites to show how to spot counterfeit money. They show all the security features that are used in genuine money, genuine currency, that are supposed to help thwart counterfeiting. Some of the features are very subtle. But just as there is real, genuine gold, there is also a counterfeit, and it's called pyrite, or fool's gold. It looks just like gold, but is not. And likewise, just as God's spirit is genuine, there is also a counterfeit spirit. And sometimes the only way to tell the genuine from the counterfeit is to test it. Now gold, real gold, has certain characteristics that fake or counterfeit gold does not. Pyrite, or fool's gold, looks like real gold, But when it is tested, its true identity is revealed. When tested, pyrite will be found to be brittle, for example, the exact opposite of true gold. There will also be a difference in the level of hardness between gold and pyrite. Gold is relatively soft, pyrite is relatively hard. So we need to be able to discern between God's genuine spirit and Satan's counterfeit spirit. How do we do that? Well, one way is through 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast to the good. Prove all things. Hold fast to that what is good. Fool's gold will fail the test. It will not hold up to the things that the real gold will. And the same applies to God's spirit and Satan's spirit as well. God's spirit will pass the test every time. We need to test and prove all things to see if they are of God or not. So today we looked at some of the characteristics of gold. We saw that it is malleable and ductile. It can be easily formed and shaped into different things. Are we easily transformed by God's Spirit? We looked at the purity of gold. Are we 24-karat Christians or are we 10-karat Christians? What is our level of purity? Gold is quite rare, making it precious and valuable. We too are precious and valuable in God's sight. Gold needs to be refined to remove the impurities. We also need to be refined to remove our impurities. Gold is durable and reliable. Are we durable and reliable? How well do we last? How well do we stand up? Gold is also highly reflective. Is God's Spirit reflected in us? How well do we shine? Finally, we need to be aware that there is a counterfeit called fool's gold or pyrite. We need to test all things to prove whether they are real or not. We need to hold on to that, what is real. Just like the prospectors in days gone by who were seeking after gold, we must do the same in seeking after God. And remember that God is in the gold.